Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, November 18th, 2012.
As the world looks upon me as I battle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and your fine family. Wealthy from the world's point of view, and I don't have much power, but Lord, I have you, and to me that's all that matters, though the world may not see.
Thank you, Lord, your blessings on me. And there's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and your fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
I don't trust in the things that this old world claims are true. I rejoice just to know that in Christ I'm made new. Yes, you gave me your grace, Lord, now I live joyfully.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And there's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep.
There's food on my table and shoes on my feet.
You gave me your love, Lord, and your fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
Let's begin this morning in Psalm 92. Many will be celebrating Thanksgiving this week, and there is no group of people that should understand the importance of Thanksgiving more so than the people of God, those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm 92, we'll read verses 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. The psalmist says it's good. The word simply means that it's beneficial as well as appropriate for the children of God to give thanks, but not just thanks to anybody. There's a lot of folks that will be celebrating a holiday, a day called Thanksgiving, and they may be thankful in a certain degree, but the importance and the benefit comes from thanking the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. It's good, it's appropriate for us as the children of God to constantly give thanks to God for His faithfulness. And that's part of what the psalmist is saying, that in the morning, before we know what we're going to face that day, and sometimes we think we know what we're going to face, but we don't, always do we. But we understand something. We declare from the beginning of the day, I know that God will be loving and kind and gracious to me, because that's His promise to those who fear Him. And then at the end of the day, no matter what we have faced, we can also declare God was faithful today. And I hope that that does characterize the beginning and end of your day. And then there are so many things in between as we learn to call upon the Lord in every moment and every circumstance. But I hope that we do have the habit, the practice of beginning our day, declaring the loving kindness of the Lord, and then ending our day. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness today. We sang the song, a simple song. I used to kind of hesitate to sing the song about I've got shoes on my feet. And, well, you know, that is a good thing to be thankful for. There are those that don't have that. And since I've gotten older, I have so much back trouble and knee trouble. My shoes are not a small thing. They're a pretty big part of my budget anymore. But God has supplied for my shoes. I have shoes on my feet. And I have a good place to sleep. I have a fine family. And I'm not talking about just the natural family, but for the family of God. We need to remember the faithfulness of God in these areas. If we fail to be thankful, very quickly we stray from walking with the Lord. Our thanksgiving, our constant awareness of what He's done for us and acknowledgement of what He's done for us will keep us near to God and cause us to walk close to Him, to understand that He's our protection. He's our provision. We started out the service this morning, without Him, we are nothing. Do we really believe that? You know, it's easy to sing these songs, but do we really mean them from our heart? That apart from God, what are we? We're just a mass of tissue made from dust, come from dust, going back to dust. But with God, when you begin to understand everything He's done for us, not only on a daily basis in this natural life, that is mind-boggling how He takes care of each of us in the daily things of life. But when you understand He has something eternal in mind for us, and that everything He does in our life and everything that He provides and protects us from and that which He allows us to go through, all of it is in fulfillment of His eternal purposes. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's turn there. We have much to be thankful for. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power, now a familiar passage, but stop and think about what's being said. As His divine power, that's the power that created everything from nothing. It's the power that His very existence holds all of the molecules and atoms together. As His divine power has given to us, how many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. It's important to know God and to know His will and His purposes, and that only comes from knowing His word, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That partaking of the divine nature, it begins with accepting Jesus as your Savior. That's one of the promises. Whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We receive the very divine nature of God and become a child of God. But we partake of many more promises than that as the children of God, as, again, we learn to understand through a knowledge of Jesus Christ, understanding who he is and what he died to give us, that we can escape the corruption of the flesh on a daily basis. We can live a life of victory. Let's go back to the Psalms and read Psalm 100 in verses 1 through 5. God has promised us exceeding precious promises. God has promised to supply everything you need as a child of God as you look to him in faith. Everything, spirit, soul, and body, for time and for eternity. Saints, you won't find that kind of assurance and confidence anywhere else, in any other philosophy, in any other religion, only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You stop and think. It's heartbreaking. I didn't go back and look at the statistics that I have from time to time. So the statistics that I had on file were out of date, and I'm sure that they're only worse since I last looked. But the suicides in our own society, teens killing themselves because they have no hope, not for this life, not for eternity. And part of the reason is there is a failure to understand our dependence on God, to thank him for who he is and what he has done for us by his love and by his grace. To be unthankful is a self-destructive attitude. And it's certainly destroying our society. But sadly, many of God's people have also fallen into this rut and this chain of being unthankful. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Saints, I cannot emphasize this enough. As our world and our society grows darker and darker, as things go from bad to worse, which they are very rapidly, God wants to encourage us as his children to serve him with gladness because we understand what he's promised for us. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now understand, this is going to be a paradox living by faith. Because at the same time that we're serving the Lord with gladness, we are to weep for the condition of the church. We are to weep for the lost. We are to reach out to them and to understand their hurt and their chains of sin. But in the midst of that, and this is only a balance that we can do as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, in the midst of our tears, in the midst of the sorrow of looking at the condition of things, we can serve the Lord with gladness. God is looking for a people that is zealous, but we will not be zealous if we are not thankful for what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians were characterized by carnality, at least at the time that Paul wrote them. And having said that, I'm sure that there in the Corinthian church were still some spiritual-minded saints. But generally speaking, the church at Corinth was a carnal church. They were saved. Paul writes to them and calls them saints. You are set apart for the glory of God because you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they were living a life that was hard to distinguish between that of the world. Immorality was rampant. Selfishness, pride, divisions, all of those things characterized the church in Corinth. And Paul wrote to them and gave four specific things for which they were to be thankful. Because a part of the problem of their carnality is that they had become unthankful. Christians had failed to properly give thanks to God and to esteem what he had done for them. So if briefly this morning, I want us to look at those four references in the Corinthian letters that Paul, that he wrote to these saints. 1 Corinthians 15 is the first one that I want us to consider. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll read verses 51 to 58. We are certainly to be thankful for everything in a general sense, but we are also to be quick to thank God for specific things. And here we have four specific things that Paul mentions to the Corinthians for which we should be thankful. And I believe that these four things could actually be used as headings for everything, an umbrella for everything that we are to be thankful for. In other words, all of our blessings can be pointed back to one or more of these four things. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die a natural death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And here's our verse. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we're truly thankful, this last verse tells us, our gratitude will be expressed in a very specific way. And that is faithfulness to serve the Lord and to do the work that he's called us to do. And as the psalmist said, we are to do it with thanksgiving. We're to do it with rejoicing, with gladness. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Victory over what? Well, what was the topic? Over death and sin. Thanks be to God for the victory over sin and death. And that leads to the hope of the resurrection. The Bible makes it plain that we are the only people, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, are the only people on the planet that have an eternal hope. And we are to be thankful for that. We are to be so thankful that we offer it to anyone and whosoever will, that they might also enter into that glorious promise of resurrection. And when we think of this victory over sin and death, we have to understand what God has revealed in his word to be true about the human race. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Why is this victory over sin and death so valuable and something that we should be so thankful for? The gifts that we receive, we are truly thankful if we understand their worth and their value and the love that was behind them, that motivated them. The same is true with the gifts from God. Romans 1:19 through 21. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, that is, the human race. Because although they knew God, and notice the deterioration of the human race. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. You see, unthankfulness is a serious thing. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Man became unthankful to God, his creator, man's creator. The human race decided we didn't really need God. We're pretty smart on our own. We can do a lot of things. We have a lot of technology. We'll do just fine on our own. We're not going to thank God for creating us. We're not going to thank God for sustaining our atmosphere and for giving us breath. That's just life. And so the human race got further and further from God ever since Adam sinned and plunged his race into sin. Now the penalty of sin is clear. It's death. Physical death is a part of that. But physical death is only a symptom of spiritual death. Death is a separation. The physical death that we think of, it's a separation from the living. But that's only a foreshadow of the second death that is to come. Stop and think about it, and we don't like to, but let's think about death for a little bit. Some of you have known loved ones that have been given a sentence of death. You've got 6 months. You've got 3 years. You've got whatever. And that's a pretty serious thing to deal with, isn't it? It's a frightening thing. It's a desperate thing when we think of death. But the sentence of death, it's both judicial as well as the inevitable byproduct of sin. Sin produces death. But those who choose to reject God, the judicial judgment of God is eternal separation. Some say, that's not fair. Can God really do that? Is he a God of love or not? We need to remember that God is God. He created us. We are to be thankful for that we even exist. But the human race, beginning with Adam, rejected God's standard. And he sinned. 2 Thessalonians 1. God says it is a righteous thing for those who choose to separate themselves from him by sin to be condemned to eternal separation. Since it is a righteous thing, in verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians 1, since it is a righteous thing with God. Now, either that's a true statement or it's not. Either the Bible is lying here or someone was mistaken. But God, by the Holy Spirit, says it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all of those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. It is the inevitable result of sin, the second death, eternal separation. If we would lock ourselves in an airtight vault, what would be the certain outcome of that situation? A miserable end, wouldn't it? When man separates himself from God because of sin, it's like shutting yourself in an airtight vault. No food, no water, no air. The end result is inevitable. Man, when they knew God, were not thankful to God, and they shut themselves off from him because of sin. Men and women are still doing the same thing today by rejecting God. Physical death is just the symptom of that sinful condition. Physical death is universal. Everybody dies, rich, poor, young, doesn't matter what the race, it doesn't matter where the country, everybody dies. And sometimes as young people, you don't think about it so much, but as you get older, you begin to realize, you know, man, this life flies by. Where did it go? And then when, in those occasions when people are given a heads up that, you know, you're going to die real soon. It's a scary thing. Sobering thoughts. Death looms over the human race, almost taunting us. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how good your family is. I'm going to take everything you have. And before long, everybody's going to forget who you are. Death taunts us. Now do you realize why we have so much to be thankful for? But thanks be to God. Death can't taunt me. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory over sin and death. Because God has given me an eternal hope. I have eternal life that goes beyond this life. Yes, I understand I may go through a physical death. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Apostle Paul told us. I know that to be true. I am thankful that I know that because Jesus died on the cross to purchase that for me. Thanks be to God. Every day of my life, my heart goes out to those who do not have that hope and that confidence, who are facing death, whether they know it or not, some that do and some that don't, some that just give no thought, I'm just going to live, live, live. But I thank God I have the victory over death through Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, the Son of God purchased this gift for me. Because he was without sin, the only man that was without sin. He became man to represent the human race. This is why when people wonder about, can a God of love send anyone to hell? When I think of the steps that God the Father took to send his Son to this vile planet, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God does not will that any should perish. He's made every provision. And saints, we need to be thankful for that. And as a part of our expression of thanks, we need to, with zeal, offer this gift to others. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Many people talk about the cross. Many people wear crosses. But few really understand what took place on the cross of Jesus Christ. He died for a reason. He died with a plan and a purpose. He laid down his life on that cross. And he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. By his death blows, by his many aspects of death that he died, I'm healed from that disease of sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Saints, that's the grace and the love of God. I'm glad God's not fair. It would have been right for God to destroy me. To never have looked at me. It would have been right for us to say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And God is righteous in his wrath to banish us forever from his presence. But that's not what the gospel says. We are all sinners. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the victory over death. And over sin. And now we know what our hope is. 2 Corinthians 5. There are people that live their entire life afraid of death. Sadly, I know some Christians that fear death. And this is not a preoccupation with death when we talk about these things. I want to live and serve the Lord as long as he gives me breath to do so. I have no desire to live to be 90, but if that's the will of the Lord and I can be productive to him, then I say amen to that. The way things are going, I don't think any of us are going to get too much older because there's coming a day when the dead in Christ will rise first and the Lord is going to come. And we're going to be caught up together. If I'm voting, that's my vote. I want to go all together. But I also know from experience that a lot of God's people have passed through this life, some very dear to me. And before Jesus comes, some more of us in this assembly may go on the other side. And there is that loss of that temporary loss of fellowship and presence with one another. But saints, there's a joy even in the midst of our tears because we know passages like 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9 are true. For we know that if our earthly house, that is this tent, this mortal body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's talking about our glorified body. The contrast is between these natural earthly bodies and the eternal glorified bodies that every child of God will receive. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Again, it's not a preoccupation with death. It's not that we just want to get out of this world. But saints, we're looking forward to what Jesus has promised us in eternity. Now, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, and who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, whether living or dead, to be well pleasing to Him. If you're really thankful for victory over death and sin and the promise of the resurrection, the result will be a life that's lived that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Until He comes, until He takes you. This is one of the things, and you can see how many things stem from this. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory over death, sin, the grave, and gives us the promise of resurrection. 2 Corinthians 2 is the second thing that Paul mentions to the Corinthians. Saints, if we lose sight of these things, if we lose sight of the eternal promise, we're going to drift from God. We're not going to walk with Him in fellowship and enjoy the benefits in this life or in eternity that He would have us to do. The moment we begin to take for granted our salvation, our eternal life, and the fact that our hope goes beyond this life, is the moment we begin to put our eyes on ourselves and our circumstances, and that's the moment we begin to get discouraged and overwhelmed. Keep your perspective eternal. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16. And with that eternal perspective, you'll understand this. We have hope and victory right now in this life. That it's not just pie in the sky, as some like to call it. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Jump down to chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, or jump over to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 6, in connection with Paul's thought here. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the law, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul says to the Corinthians, not only are we thankful for that eternal hope, but Paul says, thanks be to God for the victory that He gives us right now in every circumstance and every situation. Thank God for the hope that we have today for being who we are. Our life has purpose and our life has significance because of what Jesus did for us. It has meaning and has value. For some people, I mentioned that there are those that fear death all of their life. For some people, their desperation and their despair is not that they fear death, is that they fear life. They fear all the unanswered questions about what the next day holds for them, what the next stage of life is. But saints, we can thank God for victory right now. My life has meaning, because I'm an ambassador of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, In verse 17, we don't have time to read that, but when you have an opportunity, 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21, I've been made a new creature. Not only have I been made new, but I've been given a new job. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm here to tell other people about what God has done for them through Jesus Christ. I'm here to represent my Heavenly Father. And in Philippians 4 and verse 19, I have a promise as one of God's servants, as an ambassador of Christ, and my God shall supply all of my needs. He always takes care of his servants. He always takes care of his messengers. This is why I say we don't have to fear tomorrow. As a child of God who lives by faith, we can thank God every day. He's going to take care of my need because I'm his. I don't deserve to be his, but he made me his by his grace. I know that all things work together for my good. How do I know that? Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I know that nothing can separate me from the love of God. He's not going to send me out in the world, as Jesus says, I send them into the world. He's not going to send me out there and then let me fail. He's not going to abandon me. He's going to take care of me. And so every day I can wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. I don't know what today holds. I don't know what's going to happen in the Middle East today. I don't know what the economy is going to do. I don't know about that cliff they keep talking about. But I know this, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God for victory now. So I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear life. 2 Corinthians 8:16, the third one. 2 Corinthians 8:16. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. Now this one doesn't seem like a big one, does it? But notice there are four times when Paul uses this phrase to the Corinthians. I think it's every bit as important. Thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you in the hearts of others. Saints, we need to be thankful for faithful men and women who care for our spiritual well-being. We need to seek to be such men and women, faithful, serving the Lord with gladness. But to be that for others, Colossians chapter 4, we have a wonderful example here of the kind of saint that Paul says you need to be thankful for. They're becoming fewer and far between, sadly. But the good news is that each one of us here today, this morning, can be such a saint. Can be such a brother or sister. And the only reason that we will not be is if we choose not to be. Because the provision is there. Thanks be to God. Colossians 4, 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, he greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Notice what he prayed for. He didn't pray that you wouldn't have any problems. He didn't pray that you'd always feel good. He didn't pray that nobody would be mad at you or that you would have any problem. He says he prayed fervently, labored. He agonized in prayer that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Saints, we need to acknowledge such people and thank God for them. This is one of the important reasons for a local assembly. I've preached this all of my life and all of the time that I've been preaching for over 30 some years, that I believe that the will and the plan of God for his children in this church age is to be manifested and worked out in the local assembly. From the local assembly, then, as is the case in this assembly with our Spanish outreach, then it can be worldwide and universal in its outreach. But we need one another. We need the church family. I need you. We need one another. And there are times when I realize the enemy comes like he does in any family, and he brings the distractions and the divisions. But thanks be to God for men and women that truly care about our eternal well-being. I want to be that kind of believer. You should desire to be that kind of believer and then thank God. Value those kinds of saints and desire to be one yourself. The last one in 2 Corinthians 9:15. When we neglect to thank God for these things and respond properly in our appreciation, we drift further and further from God. And this is why we see the apostate condition in the church. They've stopped giving thanks for these specific four areas, not to mention all the others. But saints, may we not be guilty of that. And we can be, just as easily. It's our flesh. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Wanda will close here in a minute. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, His unspeakable gift. This last one is kind of a summary for everything for which we are to be thankful. His unspeakable gift. We quoted earlier John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave us His Son. Romans 8:32 says this, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us how many things? All things. Everything you need for life and for eternity, you have because of Jesus Christ. Everything stems from Him. What is it that you need this morning? As you begin to draw closer to Him, first of all, enter His courts with praise. Come before Him with thanksgiving, because these things have already done. And then you'll find, as you draw closer to Him in that thanksgiving, you'll see He'll supply everything you need right now. Let's stand this morning.